This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
ProFootballTalk.com. You can check him out on Football Night in America on NBC. He is Mike Florio. Mike, good afternoon.
How are you guys?
Good. Great. Mike, we were just talking about Thursday's game. Denver at Arizona and Vance Joseph from the Broncos struggling, losing four in a row. Steve Wilks in his first year with the Cardinals. Vinny thinks if Denver loses, it could be all she wrote for Vance Joseph. What are the tea leaves saying there?
Well, I think it is getting closer for Vance Joseph. They've got their traditional bye coming up in a few weeks, but this is the mini bye. This is the opportunity to get someone else up to speed, and you lose to Arizona. You fall to 2-5 after starting 2-0. John Elway was on radio in Denver yesterday, and he said that the defense has gotten very soft. He made a comment like that last year. Vance Joseph is the guy who's supposed to be setting the tone for that team. He's a defensive guy, so that makes it even worse. And I think that Elway at this point probably is giving some thought to what his next move would be and also who the interim head coach would be. I don't know that you reward the defensive coordinator, Joe Woods, by bumping him up. I don't know that Bill Musgrave is the guy. I'm tempted to think that John Elway may try to convince Gary Kubiak, who's working with the team in the front office, to just finish the year and do the last nine games to try to stabilize things while they figure out their next move. And I know Kubiak's had some health issues that caused him to retire, but it wouldn't shock me if Elway doesn't at least make a run at that.
Hey, Mike, how good a season is Drew Brees having? I mean, the numbers that he's at, completing almost 78% is crazy. And then 11 touchdowns, no picks, and then only been sacked eight times with a 122 quarterback rating. It's amazing how well that he has played.
That passer rating is phenomenal. It's off the charts. And right now the average in the NFL for all quarterbacks is 93.3 passer rating. But still, to be 30 points ahead of that, Brees has been incredible. He looks the same as he always has. We obsess over Tom Brady and how he looks and can he still do what he used to do and how long is he going to play. I mean, I feel like Brees hasn't lost anything. He hasn't changed at all. He's every bit as effective, as competitive, and I think he's going to keep going as long as he wants to. And you know, we had the argument last week on my morning show on NBC Sports Radio, PFT Live. Chris Sims and I argued about this, but where does Drew Brees fit all time? And I think he's easily a top 10 guy, and you could make an argument he's one of the guys in the top five, especially if the Saints can win another Super Bowl. And, you know, they struggled a little early in the year, and we started to write them off, but they've looked great since then. And if they can keep it up, they're a team that needs to be taken seriously in the NFC.
Now, Mike, what do you think of the Ravens? Because I know I think in preseason, I think you like them to go to the Super Bowl or be right there.
I had Ravens-Packers going to the Super Bowl in the preseason, and I never give up on my preseason Super Bowl picks until they're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs or losing the postseason. So I'm not going to revise anything. And I think the Ravens are the one team that neither the Chiefs nor the Patriots want to see rolling into their stadium in the divisional round. We assume now, or at least assume, maybe hope, that the Chiefs and Patriots provide a round two to what we saw on Sunday night. But I could see the Ravens win in either place if they end up there in the divisional round. I think the Chargers could as well, but the Ravens, they've always matched up well with the Patriots in the playoffs, and I think that's part of John Harbaugh's overall influence on the team in a single elimination setting. And the Chiefs haven't won a home playoff game since 1994. And at some point, that narrative is going to pop up for the Chiefs. And the question is, can this new Chiefs team overcome that? We saw some nerves from Patrick Mahomes on Sunday night. He had some air under a few of his throws in the first half. He eventually settled down. But that's going to be a ton of pressure on the Chiefs in the divisional round. And I think the Ravens are a team that can go in there and beat them and keep the Chiefs from achieving everything we think they're going to achieve this year.
Mike, do you think we're going to see three teams from the AFC North? Because the Bengals look like they're legit, and the Steelers look like they've kind of found their defense a little bit. And if they get Bell back, I think they get another boost.
Yeah, but the problem is the Chargers are looking pretty good. Last year they started 0-4 and came on strong. This year they're 4-2. And I talked to Philip Rivers right after the game on Sunday, and he said that, you know, they wanted to avoid that start last. What they wanted to do is just continue what they did when they finished last season, and they wanted to pick up where they left off, and they have. And they get Joey Bosa back at some point this year. That's only going to make them better. So I think that the Chargers are probably going to be in very good contention for one of those wild card berths. So it's going to come down to two of the three teams from the AFC North. And, I don't know, somebody's going to be the odd man out. And it seems like the Steelers have the Bengals number and the Bengals have the Ravens number, and who knows how it all shakes out.
Mike Florio joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Mike for ProFootballTalk.com. You can check him out, of course, Football Night in America every Sunday night on NBC. Go to the Rams, undefeated. We get that, I guess. Bob Greasy and Kuchenberg got the champagne on ice waiting for that first loss for them. But last three games, 23, 31, 31, 20 points allowed. Any concerns with Wade Phillips' defense right now out in L.A.?
Well, the run defense has been bad. And Ndamukong Suh, one of the guys they picked up this offseason, called it terrible last week. And, they went to Denver and it was in the 20s, and they won without scoring 30 points, which I think is progress. But they need to worry about injuries. Cooper Kupp's going to miss some time with a knee sprain. Sean McVay, the coach of the team, called him week to week on Monday. And they can overcome that, but the question becomes, will there be another one? And where's the critical mass? How many of the pieces of your offense do you lose before your offense is no longer what it was? So I think they need to be a little nervous, because if they lose Brandon Cooks or Robert Woods on top of Cooper Kupp, then it's a different offense. And if something would happen to Todd Gurley, it's a very different offense. So I think the Rams, they have the most balanced team in the NFL, and they have – one of the best offenses, and if they keep their guys healthy, they'll be fine. But I think that's the one thing. If you're a Rams fan, every week you're kind of holding your breath that there isn't some big injury that's going to change the complexion of the season.
Mike, let's talk about John Gruden. It seems like once the Khalil Mack trade, the locker room probably is like, what is this guy, doing?
Well, and I think what happened was he badly misplayed it in the offseason. Back in February, he made Khalil Mack an offer, and I believe what happened was when Mack didn't accept it, they took that money and they spent it elsewhere, and they assumed that Mack would play for $13.846 million, which is what he was due to make under the final year of his rookie contract, and he assumed wrong. And once he assumed that Mack was eventually going to show up, and he was speaking at an event in July, and he basically promised the crowd there that Mack would be back. I think they just thought Mack would blink. And when he didn't blink, they had a mess. And now the mess has gotten worse because Mack has been great. And every time Gruden talks about it, he says something else that just sounds unfortunate. And he's going to potentially harm his credibility. At some point they're going to be riding into Las Vegas. And if his credibility is shot by this Mack thing, it's going to be hard to get it back. And it's going to be hard for him to be the carnival barker that the Raiders need to sell that team to Las Vegas. I think that's one of the reasons why they wanted him. He holds Oakland together while they're there, and he's a great guy to lead the team into Las Vegas. But the way they bungled this Mack thing, I think that it's going to put a cloud over this team. And the one thing that's going to make it go away is winning. It's hard to win without Khalil Mack, and it's hard to win without the kind of talent that you need on both sides of the ball. And here they are at 1-5. And I think there's real questions about the quarterback position. They could get out from under the Derek Carr contract if they want to. And I just wonder how many changes are going to be made by Gruden in the next year or two, and how much different that franchise is going to look when it does start playing at its new stadium in Las Vegas.
Hey, Mike, you live close to Pittsburgh. What is your read, your opinion on the Le'Veon Bell? Do you agree with what he did?
Well, I agree that now you have to look at it, almost like a weird kind of a reverse insurance policy. He's given up that revenue every week so he can preserve his ability to hit the open market next year and really cash in. So that $855,000 before taxes, let's say it's $500,000 that he's given up net. You give up 10 weeks of that to preserve your ability to cash in, I can understand it. But I don't know what the end game is here for Le'Veon Bell. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up sitting out the whole season. I think the Steelers have looked at all their options for getting a return on Le'Veon Bell, whether it's trade him if he shows up before the trade deadline in 2 weeks, whether it's use the transition tag on him next year and match whatever offer someone would sign him to, and maybe try to trade him after that, or just let him walk away as a free agent and get compensatory draft pick consideration. I think they're looking at all their options. I've heard that in the building, his name never comes up, that they're fine with James Conner, and I think they really are interested most at this point in how to how to separate from Bell and maximize the return. I really do think that's what they're thinking. And the question becomes, you know, from Bell's perspective, when does he want to stop the financial bleeding, and how many games does he want to play? Is he willing to play in order to balance playing football this year, but also preserving his ability to get that big contract in March?
Two-part question, Mike. Do you think that Buffalo trades Shady McCoy, and I have a perfect place for him if they want? If they do, I would think Baltimore should be right in that mix, because I think that's what Baltimore's offense would really is really missing.
Boy, what an amazing combination that would be with an improved passing game, and you throw in the Lamar Jackson factor and that defense on top of it. I the Eagles have been mentioned as a potential team that could bring McCoy back to the place where he was drafted in 2009. You know, there's been enough smoke out there that you have to keep an eye on it, especially because the initial report that the Bills and the Eagles were talking came from a Buffalo outlet. Like, are the Bills trying to get the word out there? Is that the end game? Just to start the conversation, so maybe they get some phone calls between now and the trade deadline. That wouldn't surprise me. You know, McCoy says all the right things, but he has to be dismayed by the quarterback situation there. Josh Allen's going to be out for a while. Nathan Peterman is in the mix to play for some reason. Derek Anderson is the other option. This season could go sideways very quickly for the Bills. And that's the point where you just, hey, you concede it, and you get what you can, and you move on from McCoy, and you stockpile some picks for next year, and you try to make your team better by building through the draft.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com. Check him out, Football Night in America, every Sunday. This Sunday, Bengals at the Chiefs. Should be a high-scoring affair at Arrowhead Stadium there. Mike, we appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, see you guys. Thanks. Yep.
Got it. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, and Football Night in America. This game, by the way, Cincinnati.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.